Now, our first guest today spent 36 years as a homeless person on the streets. She was abused as a child and turned to alcohol for solace. Yet after all this, she's managed to emerge and become a fabulous artist. And in my opinion, my very humble opinion, she's also a very inspirational person. So I'm delighted to welcome to the show Nikki Nichols. Hi, Nikki.
Hello, Selena.
Lovely to talk to you, Nikki.
Thank you.
So let's start from the beginning then. Your life started as a newborn in a box outside Stoke City football ground. What happened there?
It was in the days when unmarried women were not acceptable in our country, and it was something to be ashamed of. So my mother ran away. And she didn't cope, so she came back to my grandmother's and left me up at the top of the street with my name and address on it. And then she ran away again.
Oh, blimey. So your grandparents brought you up?
Yeah, my grandmother was okay, but then the abuse started with my grandfather. And, of course, as a three-year-old, I wouldn't have known what was going on.
Of course
not. And then two of my uncles abused me too, so I was told that I was the bad one, and I grew up thinking that I was a bad person. I was groomed, you know, it's a new word now, but I was groomed as a child, and I was threatened terribly, and my dog was murdered in front of me as a warning. I just grew up like that, and I accepted that I wasn't any good and not worth anything.
It's so wrong, yeah. So awful. And I know you mentioned dog, and I've just been looking at photographs of dog, because that's what you called him, even though I think his name was Monkey.
Yeah. And as I was growing up and learning a bit in school, I knew he wasn't a monkey, he was a dog, and I called him Dog.
Go on, Nikki.
No, you go.
Well, in order to survive, really, because you weren't fed much, you and Doc had to go around foraging for food.
We did, yes. We used to forage for food, and I learned that a butcher would give him a bone for free if I took him round. And then we'd run off up to the coal pits in Staffordshire and sit on the hill, and we'd sit looking for angels to take us to heaven. I didn't actually know what heaven was. But it sounded much nicer than Stoke.
Yes, I'm sure. I'm sure it did. So, how old were you when you started life on the streets then?
My friend, and he did keep me going until he was killed, yeah.
So you eventually spent life on the streets. How old were you then?
I joined the army at 18 to get away from the abuse, and I found a bottle of whiskey instead, and I found that it helped me be a little bit braver, because I didn't understand what post-traumatic stress was, and I was having flashbacks, and I didn't know how to join society. I hadn't been learned anything by my family. I didn't know how to talk to people. I thought I was the bad one, and of course I got picked on more by the army people, you know, just the other trainees, and I found whiskey. And then I was dishonourably discharged, because I so would have loved to have stayed in the army. It would have been ideal. But I found whiskey instead, and I was discharged. And I was homeless just before I was 20, and then I hit my first mental hospital at 20 as well.
I suppose whiskey just gave you an escape, didn't it?
It blacked out the flashbacks, because I didn't know what they were. I kept having memories of Dog and the paedophile ring that I was put in as a youngster. And I was frightened to tell because of all the threats. I was always in the mindset of a child. I didn't actually grow up emotionally, if that makes sense.
Yeah. You know,
and I was still that kid walking around lost and... To be honest, Selena, sleeping rough under cars in the cold, wet, people say, oh, my goodness, you know what? It was far better than the abuse.
Oh,
so I accepted it readily, you know.
Bless you.
That's how it was. And the kid in me always saved me in situations. It's really funny because he comes up now and again, you know, to put in and show me the way. So,
yeah.
Because the kid was clever. I learned very quickly as a kid.
Yeah, you had to learn in a way to grow up fast, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I haven't grown up yet. I'm 23 and a half and I'm still not there.
I'm not either.
I still play Angry Birds and I've got a PlayStation. I want my childhood. I deserve it. I deserve my childhood and I'm going to live it.
Good for you. I think that's amazing. Good for you. Now, somebody who helped you as well, because you ended up becoming a petty thief, because obviously you had to survive, and you ended up meeting someone called Joe Whitty. And how did Joe Whitty help you?
He was the prison governor, and he treated every prisoner the same. He believed in reformation, and you know, and he enrolled people, he organised classes, typing, cooking, sewing, and he called me in the office for my designation and he said, "You're going to AA on Sunday." He used to call me toe rag, is that swearing?
No, it's not swearing.
And I turned up on the Sunday for this and I told all the girls I was going to be a car mechanic. I was so proud of myself. Oh dear.
A different AA.
It was a different AA, but I stayed because the visitors brought real cigarettes. So Joe planted the seed of my alcoholism, and it was very difficult, you know, to leave alcohol behind, but I didn't, you know. I was actually evicted from prison because it was my first home.
Mm.
They had to ask me to leave.
Oh.
And I went back on the streets because I didn't know what else to do. So that was the life, really. And, you know, I just didn't have the courage to tell. That was, and that's what the book's about, Not a Proper Child. That's the message to anyone who's been abused or hurt or hurting themselves. Just tell someone, your mate, your doctor. We've had police here in people here in Britain who've read the story and they've gone to the police, and we've got paedophiles in prison now because of it.
Oh, that's brilliant.
And that's the message.
That is brilliant.
That's the message.
Why is it called Not a Proper Child? Is that how you felt?
Sorry?
Why is the title of your book Not a Proper Child?
Because that's what I was called by my grandfather. He blamed me. He said, "I wouldn't have to do this. You're not a proper child. It's your fault. You're a bad girl."
Oh,
so I was never a proper child.
Oh,
yeah.
Crikey. So how, Nikki, did you get into art? Because your art's amazing.
that came later. I always wanted to be an artist, but my nose was broken as a child, and I was told I wasn't good enough to do that. So I didn't do it until I hit another mental hospital. I was in quite a few, but they had an art group, and I took the courage, and I waited. After I'd done my picture, I waited for all the nurses to break my nose, and they didn't.
Oh, dear.
So that was a big surprise. And then I won a lot of awards because of Joe Whitty, music and art. I won 2 Kessler Awards, one for art, one for music. And after I came to Croydon in a police van, and I say that openly, and I was taken to a detox unit where I started to get well with alcohol. And then I had to have a lot of therapy.
Mm.
And I was really shocked. That people were shocked at my story, because for me, Selena, it was normal.
Mm.
Everything that happened to me in my life was normal. And I was encouraged to do art there. And I had my first exhibition in Croydon. I was absolutely petrified. And it sold out in a couple of hours. About 32 paintings just sold.
Wow.
And I give my money, and half my share of the book will go to the homeless and mental health groups that I support.
Oh, that's incredible.
I'm not making money out of this. I just want to help other people and encourage people to tell someone if they're hurting in any way. So, and then I found that a lot of TV and altars and everybody was after me, but I wasn't ready for that. And then one day I met Elizabeth Shepherd.
Yeah, how did you meet Elizabeth? She's the co-author, yeah?
Yeah. She's a brilliant writer, yeah, and she's done a great job on the book. And it was harrowing doing it, you know, going over and over and over again, but she pulled me through it, and she's produced something really special.
You must have had to go back to some very dark places in order to tell your story.
Yeah, it was very dark. We've had a few moments, you know. At some point, I don't use the word hate, but I hated her at some point, and another point I loved her. And, you know, it was swings and roundabouts for both of us because she had to listen to it in detail.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I hope now she's an established author, that she'll go on to make many good books. I'm sure she will.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
How are you now? Where are you living? Are you able to trust again now? How are you doing?
I live in sheltered accommodation. Croydon Castle have been absolutely brilliant with me and supported me throughout the care line. I've got a little bit of a model on the window, which gives me a lot of inspiration. I'm still nervous. I'm not part of my fit, but I'm in the hospital. I'm actually painting while I'm talking.
So sorry, Nikki. I think we're losing you. The line's suddenly gone very, very bad. Just speak to me again.
Okay now?
It's the line has
gone.
Hello. Oh, that's better. That's better. Carry on.
Hello.
Hello. We can hear you now.
Yeah. I still paint and I raise money for my charities. I'm starting to trust people. I've got some beautiful, beautiful friends. I've never had friends before I came to Croydon. Only one in the book. She's in the book. And she supported me. So anyway, that's about it, you know, really.
And you've got a little cat now called Charlie Nichols, is that right?
No, he's passed on now. But he was my first family member.
Aww.
I was told to buy a cat. I had carers when I moved in. I only had the clothes that I stood up in. And it was a nice clean flat and floorboards and that, but it didn't have anything in it.
Mm.
And the carer came and gave me £38.78. Well, that's more money I thought I'd won the lottery.
Mm.
Until she said, I want you to go and buy a kettle. And I looked at her and I thought, why would I? When have I ever had a kettle? So I've got a sink that water comes out of. Anyway, I went to AA that night and the lady had kittens and I brought Charlie Nichols home.
Oh.
And with the £38, I bought him a bed and toys and we slept on the floorboards and he was round my neck. And the carer came the next day and she said, put the kettle on. And I looked at her and I said, he's in the basket. So don't worry. I had to learn to do everything from scratch.
Yeah.
Shopping, cooking, running the home, responsibility and all that. And it was quite scary. It was more scary than being on the street.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm getting there. I've got a lovely home now and I enjoy my painting. It keeps me going. And
where can we see your paintings? Oh, yeah. Where are they?
I've sent you an email today.
Right, okay.
With pictures on.
Right, and what about anybody?
I sent it to your website.
If any of our listeners want to have a look at your paintings, is there somewhere they can look?
Have you got Google in Spain?
Yes, we have, yeah.
Yeah, if you look Nikki Nichols Artist, I'll come up.
Nikki Nichols.
With my music and my art.
Artist. Music as well, blimey. Well, I really do think you're an inspiration, Nikki. I really, really appreciate you coming on the show and I think you're great. And to give money from the book and some of your paintings as well to the homeless, I think it's incredible. Just one last question. Do you ever see any of your family now?
Only one. I was reunited with a cousin from one of my aunties in Stoke. And he's lovely. His name is Ken.
Right.
Yeah.
Lovely. Well,
yeah.
The book is called Not a Proper Child by Nikki Nichols, who we're speaking to now. We've actually put it on our website, so if anybody wants to go to tre.radio and click on the bookshop banner, the book is there ready to buy, and you can see Nikki's art and music at nikkinichols.com. Thank you so much for coming onto the show, Nikki.
Thank you, Selena, and thank you for your airtime, and love to all you Brits out there.
Bless Bye-bye. You. We send our love back. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Selena.